Baker McKenzie welcomes you to TMT Talk, the global TMT podcast series, focusing on sector-specific issues that are impactful on players in the technology, media, and telecoms industry.
Well, greetings and welcome to all our listeners. My name is Harry Vallette. We're talking about video gaming in LATAM, and we're going to cover specifically the topic of age rating. I am so thrilled to be joined by my colleagues, Carlos Davila Peniche and Daniel Villanueva. Who are going to join me in this conversation talking about age ratings. Carlos, Daniel, welcome.
Hi, Harry.
Thank you for having me.
Great. Thank you both for joining this conversation. So let me just kick right into it. We're talking about age ratings. And so I think a great place to start is just to describe how age ratings work in general in LATAM. So if you could just give us a brief overview. Daniel.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes. So this is an incredible time to be speaking about this. We in Mexico just have a new guideline for implementing age ratings. So how does this work in general? One might think that it's all about age, but in reality, it's actually about content and whether that content is suitable for certain individuals or for the audience that they're directed to. When we think of a video game, we often think of who this video game is directed to, and those age rates are intended to protect that audience from seeing something that they're not supposed to be seeing. That's basically how this works.
Yeah, and I think it's so interesting because it's based on content. And I think one of the challenges, I mean, you mentioned that Mexico just came up with some direction on that. I wonder if you feel that there's harmonization across LATAM or if it's really Mexico specific. One of the challenges that publishers face is trying to understand culturally what that content might be considered appropriate for, right? What might be appropriate for a certain age in the United States may not be the appropriate in Mexico or Argentina and so forth. So there is an element of localization expectations. Would you agree with that, Daniel?
I totally agree. And I think we do have a global classification system where many authorities have aligned themselves so that we can have some type of harmonization. However, at the outset, there are cultural things that need to be considered for this. So we did not have any type of guidelines for many, many years. There was a general law on the protection of children rights passed in 2018. And there was an intention there for the Mexican authorities to publish these guidelines. And it's only a couple of years after that that we just received these new guidelines where they have taken everything that was aligned globally and applied that culturally to Mexico. So we have that level of localization now that we didn't have before.
Yeah, and you're raising some great points here as well, Daniel, because maybe the criteria is objective, right? Maybe the criteria has been globalized or set at a broader multinational level, but the interpretation of that criteria, which is essential, right? Because again, you're looking at content. Content is art. It's iterative. It changes. So that interpretation can vary both depending on the culture, again, but also on the experience of the country, right? If you're just kind of getting your head into it and starting to apply something, implement something, there's a learning curve. There's an opportunity that you need to give the community, regulatory or private sector and government collaboration to interpret that. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Definitely. I think you have just mentioned something that is very important. This is applicable to the whole ecosystem. It's not just for developers, and it isn't just for gamers. It's for the whole ecosystem. Everyone is involved in this from the moment that you decide what the content's going to be, who the audience is going to be, how you're going to market this product, where you're going to sell it. So complying with this regulation, in everyone in that ecosystem needs to consider that, so that you can put into practice everything that is on the law, labeling specific information that you need to disclose. How are you going to be able to market that? If you there are any restrictions, things like those. I think that's a very interesting point.
Totally agree. Thanks. Let me switch over to you, Carlos. Just talk to us, if you can, just a little bit about enforcement of the age rating system, the compliance risk around it at this point. What are your thoughts on that?
What happens here is the authority normally doesn't make the distinction of the physical boxes that were used to be like the standard for commercialization of video games in the past, and that we have now shifted to the consumer consumption through the digital environment. And that brings an additional practical challenge to how this should be implemented, because from a business perspective, you need to address it on a local approach that the authority will have, and that you should comply with the local requirements and analyze it on a per jurisdictional basis rather than on a regional, because there is no actual uniformity that can be bound or to which the publishers can be bound. So you need to go on a per jurisdiction basis, and then getting over the hurdle of how many of these regulations are intended in theory for the boxes. But nowadays, everything is in a digital environment. So that brings additional challenges to interpret and apply the regulations. In the end, it's a matter of understanding that these regulations are intended to protect younger consumers, younger gamers, from these practices that could actually hurt them, such as violence or some sort of gambling aspect that the games might have, and that we have discussed in a previous episode. So the enforcement is tricky in a nutshell, because the authorities not always are up to date in terms of how the consumers are actually having access to these products and how they could actually harm them.
Yeah, I would totally agree. I think given how fluid the environment is with apps and electronic use of games, a lot different than, you know, when a publisher can control a box, right, of a packaging and what is on there. But once something leaves your environment, sometimes you need to kind of release the code. You really are to some extent dependent on how that's then being fed back to what a consumer sees through whatever gaming platform or medium they're using, because the options are so varied in this day and age. So, but let's just on that topic, if I can go back to you, Danielle, if you could share, you know, the challenges and how do you address compliance with age ratings in app stores or in console purchases that are again outside of a box environment? What are some of the considerations there?
Yeah. And on their new guideline, it's at least obscure whether this labeling applies to the digital environments. What we are certain about is, and this is something that might be useful for everyone, is that Mexican legislation decided to use or to continue to use ESRV ratings and just make an equivalence to that. So on top of what you already have been using, you just adapt whatever you have already and just comply with the new type of designs that you need to show for Mexico. But those would need to be used in all environments. So to the extent that you put this available for users to download, to purchase, or whatever commercialization of the game, you will need to show somehow that you have shown the audience these ratings. So whether it's physical or electronic, we do believe that this is applicable to all the mediums used for putting this to the public.
a lot of issues, I think, here to consider. I mean, just any final thoughts, any final recommendations to our listeners in this area that you know, Carlos or Daniel may have? It might be a good time to share that.
I think that one of the key issues is to use these standards that are not yet completely mandatory in other jurisdictions to have as a best practice. I think one key element in terms of the video game is how the sector can actually auto-regulate and try to comply with the best standards in practice. And that shows you how, as you mentioned, Harry, how fluid this is in terms of how quickly that can the publishers adapt and improve their practices so that they can reduce any potential risk of further scrutiny on behalf of the government authorities that try to impose a much more stricter method of actually enforcing these type of rules, but that comes from the government rather from the industry itself, who in the end knows better how to prevent certain bad practices from happening and doing their best efforts to prevent them. So I guess that to mitigate risks, the best practices should be employed and deployed on a faster pace than waiting for the government to come with all the power that it has and try to create some additional obstacles to the video game industry and its development. Daniel, I don't know if you want to chime in on this one.
I guess from my side, just make sure that you continue to use what you have been using so far. Our system is just an equivalence. So to the extent that you are compliant with your current ratings, just make an equivalence to that. Make sure that if your audience is in Mexico, just to comply with these new designs that you will need to show either online or physically.
Great. Super helpful, Carlos, Daniel. We reached the end of our time together. I want to thank you both for sharing your insights. I'm quite confident it's going to be helpful to our listeners. Until then, thanks so much again.